I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Tight end position, you guys. You love your offensive linemen, but you love your quarterback the most. And Trey, you just got done with a year playing with two of the best quarterbacks in the league. Carson Wentz, he goes down with the injury. Nick Foles even elevates his game. And now you've got Mitchell Trubisky as your QB1. Everyone in Chicago seems to be excited. You have new eyes on this guy. What are your initial impressions from Mitchell Trubisky, the second overall pick from last year's draft?
Yeah, he's special. You know, he fits right in the category with Carson and the way he prepares, his physical attributes on the field, his athleticism. So it's just going to be really interesting when, you know, the bullets are flying and, you know, he's able to get hit and tackle and things like that, you know, how everything goes. But I'm really excited, extremely impressed. So far, and definitely have no doubt, you know, in his ability and what he's able to do.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
It's Trey Burton, your new U tight end. He moves around in Matt Nagy's offense on Good Morning Football with Peter Schrager. This hour on The Score brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. I know we both have been reading this guy forever and have never had him on the air, so we welcome him to The Score, the editor of Pro Football Talk, Michael David Smith. How's it going, Michael? Thanks for the time.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Outstanding, because we're only 10 days away. 10 days away from the Bears breaking a sweat in Kankakee County, and my partner, Michael, is scratching his head why Mitch Trubisky is not garnering any respect from Madden, the video game, or our buddy Paul Charchian, the fantasy football guru. What is an appropriate expectation in your mind of Mitchell Trubisky now in year two?
Well, the first expectation has to be improvement. I mean, you have to see him take a step forward from year one to year two. Is it the kind of step forward that a Carson Wentz showed or a Jared Goff showed? I don't know that that's realistic, but it has to be improvement. And specifically, it's almost as much, maybe even more, on the new head coach, Matt Nagy, as it is on Mitchell Trubisky. Because let's face it, when John Fox was the coach for 3 years, that offense never looked good, and it didn't matter who the quarterback was, the offense never looked good. With a new coach who has a good reputation, you have to see improvement from your young quarterback, and if you don't see improvement, you really start to wonder how big a mess the Bears have on their hands, because, you know, let's face it, last place 3 years in a row with John Fox, it doesn't get much worse than that. I just think some measure of improvement, some notable amount of improvement just has to come out of year two with Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, because, Michael, don't get it twisted. Like, I don't think that he should be garnering any sort of, you know, top half of the league type of preseason expectations. But this is a guy who had two games where he completed over 70%, 75% of his passes. He wasn't supposed to start. He had the worst offensive coaching staff in the league and a bottom three skill position group. And both of those things have changed. So I saw flashes of a high ceiling in an awful situation. If you were buying stock in Mitch Trubisky, like, do you believe he's a buy? Or are you a believer?
You know, I think I'm a little more skeptical than it sounds like you are, just because I want to see more than I saw last year. And I agree with the caveats that you're offering, that the coaching staff was not good, the receivers were not good. I think that there's no question it should be a better offensive scheme. Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, he should have better targets. So I'm not necessarily down on Trubisky, but I just want to see a little something before I totally buy in. And, you know, when they traded up from 3-2 to draft him, there was no question at all that Ryan Pace was a big believer in Mitch Trubisky. At that time, I wasn't as sold, and I guess I just didn't see quite enough out of his rookie year to become sold.
Michael David Smith, ProFootballTalk.com, a Chicago guy with us on The Score with me, Danny Mac, and Danny Parkins here weekdays 1 to 6. Positional group-wise, where do you think the Bears are most challenged as they get ready to enter training camp?
Well, I want to see a good offensive line. I mean, to me, that is a huge part of whether Mitch Trubisky develops, is whether he gets the kind of protection he needs. But, you know, when I look at the Bears personnel-wise, I see so many areas where over the last couple of years, I think to myself, boy, they would have been better if they had been healthier over the last 2 years. And there were so many injuries. So I don't know if I even want to pinpoint a position group that individually needs to improve as much as I want to say, you know, the bad luck with injuries that they had over the last couple of years is something that they have to fix. And I think usually injuries are more about bad luck than anything else. I don't necessarily think there's a lot you can do to proactively fix it. But to me, when I just look at it, I just think the Bears need to be a healthy football team. And that's something they weren't over the last couple of years.
Yeah, 31st and 32nd the last 2 years in terms of starters' games missed. So absolutely horrific injury luck, and then there's always the debate about if there's more that they can do to help it. You know, it's a worst-to-first league, right? That's why people love the NFL, parity. There's usually about a 40 to 50% turnover from the playoff field every single year. Do you have a win expectation for the Bears this season in a tough division?
You know, I think they are probably looking at right around 6-10. If I were to pick a record for the Bears right now, that's what it would be. But like you say, I think the most fun thing about the NFL is we can sit here in July and say every team we think of as 6-10 is only a few bounces of the ball, a few calls going their right way, a couple of young players developing. It's not a big difference from 6-10 to 10-6. You know, so one of the most fun things I think about the NFL is at this time of year, when you're talking about a 6-10 team, that sounds like a disappointing year. You know, if you're a Bears fan, you're like, okay, we've had enough last place finishes in the NFC North. We want to be better than that. But you know, the fun thing is 6-10 isn't far from 10-6 in the NFL. It's not a big spread. So could the Bears be that surprise team this year? I think it's possible. I think if Matt Nagy proves himself to be a good coach, I think if Mitch Trubisky has that second-year leap forward that we've seen in other quarterbacks, I think it is certainly possible that they could be a significantly better team than we're expecting. But, you know, if you ask me to put money on a record that I had to get right, 6-10 is the range that I would be going with.
Going back to last season, you were the first national voice I heard, actually read in this case, who was making a case for Case Keenum for league MVP. And I give you credit for being on the ground floor of that, because for the first 12, 13 weeks, he absolutely deserved to be in that conversation. With Kirk Cousins now the man in Minneapolis, What does that do for the Vikings' chances, in your mind, to represent the NFC in Super Bowl 53?
Well, the really interesting thing to me, and thank you for giving me credit, I was noticing Case Keenum when a lot of people were not sold on him, but the interesting thing to me is that the Vikings made that decision, that they felt like paying more money to Kirk Cousins was a big upgrade over what they had in Case Keenum. Now, Keenum was a free agent, but the Vikings could have franchise tagged him. They could have signed him to a deal that would have cost them less than Kirk Cousins. So clearly, the Vikings think they got better at the quarterback position by letting Case Keenum walk and signing Kirk Cousins. But I'm not so sure about that, and I would not pick the Vikings to repeat in the division. I think if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, the Packers are the favorites. I also think that, you know, I might rather have Matthew Stafford than Kirk Cousins as well, as if we're looking at NFC North quarterbacks. So I'm not really as sold on the Vikings as I think a lot of people seem to be, because I don't know that they did get better at quarterback, and I don't know that they made the right decision letting Case Keenum walk and spending a lot more money on Kirk Cousins. And you know, one of the things you always have to remember with the salary cap league that the NFL is that every dollar you're spending on one player is a dollar you're not spending on some other player. And I can't help but think that after 3 years are up with Kirk Cousins, we might look at that contract and say, you know, the Vikings would have been better off spending a little bit less money to keep Case Keenum and using that extra money on, you know, bolstering the offensive line, adding depth on defense, whatever it is that you think they should have been doing with a few million extra dollars. I have a feeling that's the way we're going to look at it. So I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins is a bad quarterback, but I don't think the Vikings got better there the way a lot of people are assuming they will get better because they landed the number one free agent in the league this offseason.
Are you looking forward to episode number two of Very Cavallari, Michael?
I am not a big fan of that style of television. I'll watch when people post a clip on Twitter of 45 seconds of Jay Cutler and his wife talking in the kitchen. It looks suspiciously staged to me, but they call it reality TV. I'm not a big fan of that, so I'll wait and see what people are posting on Twitter rather than watch the whole episode.
Are you saying that you think that maybe there's a little bit more production and scripting in that than it's not just totally natural? Are you willing to break that story right here on the Score?
I'm going to give you guys a worldwide exclusive.
Wow.
Reality television does not always reflect reality. How do you like that?
That is groundbreaking stuff.
I want to flip to the AFC quickly. Does Le'Veon Bell have a contract in time for camp to start with the Steelers, or are they going to go through that drama all over again before giving him a one-year tag?
Well, there's only 6 days left before they reach the deadline where they would have to only sign him for 1 year, and I have a feeling he's only going to sign that one-year deal again, like his old college teammate Kirk Cousins did, and then he'll test free agency next year. So my best guess is the Steelers will open camp without Le'Veon Bell.
Michael David Smith, managing editor from ProFootballTalk.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael Dave Smith. Thanks a lot for the time, man. We'll do it again.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.